And this morning we're in Psalm 20. Psalm 20, to the chief musician, the Psalm of David. And we have a chorus here in the first five verses. But there's several things here that I want us to take note of. It says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." So, a plea that God would hear. And one of the things that we have to recognize is that God is not capricious. God is not doesn't answer us on a whim. God knows what is right and what is best, and He's going to do what is right and what is best. And when we're pleading with God to intervene on something, it isn't like we have to somehow convince Him that we're in earnest or something like that. God knows. But we do need to bring these things before Him. And I think that a lot of what we have in the Scripture is of course, for our benefit. It's not for God's benefit. It's for our benefit. And so the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble in the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. That's a word of encouragement. May the Lord answer your prayers is the idea there. And if you're like me and you've tried to second guess how God works, okay, God's going to do this, and then He's going to do this, and this is going to, it's all, and it never happens that way. You're looking this way, and God is tapping you on the shoulder saying, over here, I want your attention over here, and you turn, oh, there's the answer. I was expecting this, but hey, this is great. This is as good or better than what we were looking at over here, and it's a lot less complicated because just, here we go. And God works that way. May God hear the, I am so thankful that God doesn't follow my plan. Because if He followed my plan, it would be so convoluted and so difficult. Oh, we gotta have this taken care of, and then this, and then this, and God says this, I'll give you this over here. And you're just thankful that that's how it works. God does amazing things. May God hear thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. We're going through trial. We're going through difficulty. We're going through whatever the case may be. And God will either get you around, through it, over it, whatever. But as God's child, He will give you the strength necessary to endure the difficulties. You look at what some people go through and you're thinking, man, I'm pulling my hair out and I don't have that much. I'm pulling my hair out with the circumstances that I'm dealing with. And you look at this person over here whose circumstances are just mind-bogglingly more difficult and trying than what you're going through. And yet they're just being serene in the whole thing, and it's just God's taking care of it, and God is giving me the strength I need. And you're just, whoa. Boy, I'm glad I'm not in your shoes. I'll pray for you, but oh my word. And yet God sustains. God's grace is sufficient. And of course, some people may look at your circumstances and say, man, I don't understand how you handle your situation. Well, thankfully, I don't have to. I can rely on a God that is going to meet the need. I was so grateful. Most of you know, I've had three cars in my driveway for who knows how long. I've got one that works. And I had the van that Sandy and Larry had given us years ago. It had been sitting there in our driveway, and it runs, but the battery I said, oh, good grief. I want to be able to, it still runs, but the transmission is so bad that I have to let it warm up for 10 minutes before I can get it to go into gear. And it's got well over 200,000 miles, and it's not worth getting fixed. But I need to be able to drive it to the wrecking yard. And so Dave loaned me a battery charger, and it was on there, 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 and it was on there. And I go out there, and boom, it starts up, and praise God, on, what was it, Monday? Monday, I drove it to the junkyard. Yes, I was so thrilled. I was so thrilled. That's a little thing. I got money. This was good. Yeah, if you could drive it to the, I mean, if they come and get it, they might give you $50 for it. But if I drive it there, he'll walk around, take a look at it, listen to the motor, and he'll, you know, here's your $300 or whatever he's going to give you for it. That's a lot better than 50 or having to pay them to come and take it away, which is what I wanted to be able to start for. And the wrecking yard is only two and a half miles from my house, so that was kind of nice. So, but little things. We're talking about little things, how God meets the needs of little things. And not always in a way that we anticipate. And he will give you the strength. He will give you what is necessary to get through whatever trial, whatever difficulty you're going through. And remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt offerings. The things that, now of course we're dealing with a different dispensation here, but God, remember the things that I do as I offer myself to you. Remember my service that, and this is again getting down to our proper motive. Because if I'm doing it for the praise of men and so on, then my motive is totally wrong and I receive no benefit from it, really, other than the praise of men. My drive, my initiative, everything needs to be done for the glory of God. So God, remember what I have done. Remember what is there. Grant thee according to thine own heart. I love this one, verse 4. Grant thee, this is addressing the person who is praying. It's kind of back up to like verse 1. It's a declaration. It's somebody trying to give word of encouragement. May God do this. May God grant thee according to thine own heart. And fulfill all thy counsel. Okay. Number one, may God give you the longings of your heart. May he satisfy those things. The thing that is important to you, the thing that is on your mind, the thing that is of concern to you, may God accomplish that, the longing of your heart. And then he says, may he fulfill all your counsel, your purpose, your plans. Now, let's back up a little bit. The longing of my heart is not necessarily right. My plans, the goals, the aspirations I have, I want to see this happen, and I want to see this, and I'd love to see this, and I've been dreaming about this, and those are not always things that are in accord with what God wants. Matter of fact, sometimes when God gives us the thing that, or allows the things that we dream about, the things that we just, you know, our passion, our goal, it turns out to be a disaster. And God's withholding the things that we dream about and our goals and so on is actually a benefit to us, and we sometimes don't realize it. Too often don't. I want you to turn, and this is a key thing. Turn to Psalm 37. So understand that in a couple of months you're going to get a review of this. In Psalm 37, it says in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There's a key here, a very important key. My desires need to be the same as God's desires. When my delight becomes God's delight, then I don't have to worry about anything, that God's going to bring it all to pass the way. Now, this is not just a fatalistic whatever. It has to do with two things. Number one, our submission to God and our wanting things that God would want. We have a tendency to think in the realm of the material. We try to think, when I was in youth ministry, there was an activity we had called Bigger and Better. Some of you remember this from your days as a young person. Each team starts out with a penny or a toothpick or a pencil or something like that. And you go out in two or more teams and you go out with a sponsor and each got a vehicle and you go out wheeling and dealing. And you trade that thing for various other things. And after an hour or two or three, you come back and see who's got what. And I've seen some amazing things. I've seen people come back with a wrecked car. I've seen people come back with a sofa. I've seen people come back with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. I've seen people come back with a doctor's bag. I've seen people come back with an ice cream maker. That's where mine came from. I've seen all kinds of things that people have been able to come back with, starting out with a penny, and they're wheeling and dealing and so on, and then see what they come back with in 2-3 hours. we have a tendency to look at our lives as bigger and better. And God doesn't look at things from the bigger and better perspective. I want a bigger house. I want a better house. I want a bigger car. I want a better car. I want a better paying job. I want a better this. I want to upgrade this. And we have a tendency to think that way. But that isn't necessarily what God wants. God is going to give us the things that we need to do what he wants us to do. And he does it for different reasons. And he does it for what's ultimately for our benefit. And a lot of it is the process. The benefit is not derived from the end result as much as it is by how you got from point A to point B. Pick any missionary you want. All right. Here you've got a young person, a young couple, maybe somebody that's been in business for 8-10 years, like the LaBelles and some others, and they determine, you know, I really think that God wants us. I went on this missions trip, and it was a transformative thing, and I think this is what God wants us to do. And so they begin the process of getting from just being average Joe couple serving in some local church to serving on some foreign field. And if you're like the LaBelles, going to someplace dangerous, they want to go to Sierra Leone, West Africa, where Ebola is and all this other stuff. And the process of getting from being a roofer in Oregon to being a preacher in Sierra Leone . What God teaches them in that process is part of their training to be effective when they finally get to the field. You learn to live by faith. The Bolans, remember their vehicle died. We need another vehicle. We have got to continue to do this. We're close to being able to go. We're at 80%. We're going to be leaving for the field in a year, but our car died and we need a car for this last year. And God provided that vehicle so that they could continue their deputation, and they're planning on leaving for the field, I think, in March. That's a lesson in faith, that God supplied that thing when they needed it so that they can continue to do what God wants them to do. It was a necessary thing. And so the process is learning that life of faith. It isn't just the end result. It isn't the bigger and better. It's the process of, and the process allows us to be more useful. The process brings us to a place where God can entrust us with other things. We look at this as far as a growing up process in dealing with children. Can I trust my kid with this particular task? Well, probably not. I'm going to have to follow up on it. And no, it's not going to be done. It's not going to be done right. And it's going to be... It's easier to do it myself, but it's not in their best interest for me to do it for them. They need to learn to do this on their own. But over a period of time, maybe weeks, months, years, that becomes standard operating procedure for them. They know how to do this. All you have to do is mention it to them. You might want to ask them after their requisite time, did you get that taken care of? Okay, good, thanks. You don't even have to, you know, you don't even have to look to see. The word is good. You know they know how to do it. It was taken care of. God deals with us that way as well. God knows that in order for us to be proficient at a task that he's called us to do, we have to go through this, and we have to experience this, and we have to go through this hurdle, and we have to go through this struggle and everything to equip us to do something over here that he has in mind for us. And sometimes, let me change that, most of the time, we don't even know what that task is. And we're wondering why we're going through all this stuff. And it's to equip us for a task down here. But we don't even know it. That's one of the benefits of having an omniscient, timeless God who knows the end from the beginning and knows how it all works out. Because God knows what he is going to do with you, and he knows what steps are necessary to equip you to do a task down the road, which By the way, if you look at your life, what you're doing now, what you're doing right now is not something that you could have done 5, 8, 10, 12, 15, 20 years ago. That what you have gone through in the meantime is God's equipping you to do that task even now. Or to have you be able to handle what is on your plate even now. So, conforming our wills to God's will. And that is really a key to the Christian life. Remember all thy offerings, accept thy burnt offerings, grant thee according to thine own heart, provided my heart, my goals, my passion, my plans, my aspirations, everything are conformed to the will of God. Am I going to want what God wants? Or do I have a plan that is, well, if God wants it, that's great, I'll take that, but if God doesn't want it, I'm going to go along anyway. And then we have shifting gears in anticipation of celebration. We will rejoice in thy salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Remember, wanting what God wants. Wanting what God wants. And when you see it happen, it's a time of great rejoicing. We've talked about one of the benefits of keeping a journal as a believer. As part of your devotional time, my wife does this. She just uses regular spiral bound stuff. But it's a great blessing. As you write down thoughts and stuff, as you write down prayer requests, as you're dealing with thoughts, as you read through the scripture, applications as far as, especially regarding what you're dealing with right then and there. And then you keep these journals. And then 5 years later, you go back and you look at what you wrote then. And you see what God has done. How God got you through the trial that you were experiencing. The lessons that you learned. You look at, you say, man, I was struggling with that, then I remember that. And yet, looking now, that's something that God gave me victory over. Or that was a lesson that God allowed me to learn. So there's a benefit in remembering, and I throw journaling out there as a way to remember. Because now, Now I know. Verse 6, that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And here you've got David, the physical, political ruler of a country that God has blessed and God has made promises to, and God has made promises to David himself, that God must fulfill those things because God has said so. And God has seen it all, or David has seen it all play out, that it has happened the way God has said it would. And so David can look back and he says, you know, some trust in chariots. Some trust in a huge military. Some trust in horses. That I've got this huge cavalry and I've got all these chariots and I'm secure because of the military might that I have. But David says, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. God is our real source of strength. I may have chariots and I may have horses and I may have wealth in the bank and I may have friends in high places and I may have this and I may have that. But ultimately, it's the Lord. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. That word King there probably ought to be capitalized. I think that the King he's referring to is the Lord. One of the things about David is he did not glory in an arrogant way in his position as monarch. He recognized that he was second in charge. That God was the King. I started Daniel this morning. I got to chapter 4 in dealing with Nebuchadnezzar's fall, his grazing on the North 40, and that God sets up whom he will and takes down who he will. And it isn't about me, it's about God. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there's a measure of contentment that we need to have. Paul talks about this. And the King is the one who is in charge. He is the one who is there. He is the one who knows. He's the one we can confide in. He is the one who knows what is right and what is best and what, and will do what is right and best for us. So save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. He is trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust. And it is good to remember and know. But we need to make sure that a prerequisite, our wills need to be conformed to His will. And when that's taken care of, everything else is taken care of. All right. Any questions or comments on what we've looked at? All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You that You are indeed a trustworthy God. And Father, may we recognize the fact that this is not about us, it's all about You. And Father, I pray that our lives would be conformed to You, that our wills would be yielded to Your will, that our desires, our goals, our aspirations would be to the glory of God. And Father, You'll take care of us along the way to enable that to take place. Father, for your glory, for Your name's sake, Father, accomplish these things. We might be usable and useful. We might honor the Savior. And Father, we might boast in Your grace and in Your goodness and the things that You do in and through us. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.